Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington, preparing for snow in the Midwest.
In Minnesota,
we are always planning for inclement weather.
XL Energy Regional Vice President John Marshall says the crews are ready to roll in case there are outages. He says downed trees and car crashes can cause headaches.
There is some added immediacy and intensity in the winter times, wanting to make sure that both the electric or natural gas, if any is disrupted, to get those restored as safely and as quickly as possible.
Inside a Minneapolis Ace Hardware store, folks were stocking up on bags of salt and other storm supplies. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
The founder of the now-defunct FTX cryptocurrency exchange has been arrested in the Bahamas at the request of the U.S. Charges that will be brought against Sam Bankman-Fried will be unveiled on Tuesday. CoinDesk reporter Nick Day says there are a lot of questions about how FTX handled its customers' funds.
There was no real clarity as to who was able to access these funds, that insiders were able to take these funds and buy houses and real estate in the Bahamas. Basically, the sheer number of corporate governance failures that are being alleged are pretty severe, and I suspect that is a huge part of where some of these charges come from.
The suspected Libyan intelligence official, who federal prosecutors believe made the bomb that destroyed a passenger plane over Lockerbie, Scotland 34 years ago, was in U.S. federal court on Monday. CBS's Deborah Alfaron on the appearance of Abu Aguila Mohammed Massoud.
A bomb hidden in luggage detonated on the flight from London to New York just 4 days before Christmas in 1988. 259 people on board the plane were killed. 11 more on the ground died from falling debris. The FBI says Massoud admitted to building the bomb and coordinating the attack with two others during a 2012 interview with a Libyan law enforcement officer.
An oil speak in a spill, that is, in a creek in northeastern Kansas has shut down a major pipeline that runs from Canada through the plains and to the Texas Gulf Coast. It's the largest spill in the history of the Keystone Pipeline. Warren Martin heads up an oil industry nonprofit.
Anytime that you have a malfunction of oil and gas anywhere, it's a very serious issue. And certainly no one takes it more serious than the oil and gas industry does. And remediation must take place. Analysis must take place. What caused it? How did it happen? What can we do to prevent it?
Opening statements have begun in the second trial on seditious conspiracy charges against members of the far-right Oath Keepers group. Federal prosecutors say lower-level members of the group planned and participated in the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. On Wall Street Monday, the Dow up more than 1.5%. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Do you know a special woman who deserves nothing but the best for the holidays? This Christmas, spoil her with soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas. The next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Naturally nude pajamas, exclusively at Pajamagram, are smooth to the touch, light as air, truly seductive. Order today and Pajamagram will include a free matching naturally nude nightie. That's a $75 saving on a best-selling holiday gift. Yes, ordering today gets you a free $75 nightie. Definitely an effortless way to let her know how much you care. Now you can give her two sensuous gifts that she'll love to relax in. But hurry. Year after year, naturally nude pajamas sell out. So here's what you need to do. Head to pajamagram.com or text the word GIFT to 41234. That's GIFT to 41234. Order today, ships tomorrow.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 13th. The Human Resources Committee in Wisconsin Rapids will meet at 2 p.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The McMillan Memorial Library Services Committee will meet at 4:30 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at McMillan Memorial Library, 490 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the Tourism Commission meeting will be held at 7:30 a.m. in the Community Room, 933 Michigan Avenue, Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Workplace Safety Meeting will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse, and the Solid Waste Committee meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. at Adams County Solid Waste and Recycling. In sports, Badgers volleyball lost to Pitt on Saturday 2-3. San Diego versus Texas and Pittsburgh versus Louisville NCAA semifinals will begin on December 15th. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. 30 overnight under cloudy skies, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow, 36. 32 tomorrow night, mixed precipitation likely. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a gutted out Monday edition. Oh no, Dobbs got COVID.
Oh my God, can you believe this, man? Partying all weekend, come down with the Rona. Crudy, good to see you. Had a great time at the holiday party this weekend. Evan on the board, our fair audience, happy days. Yeah, man, Steph was feeling a little under the weather, a little tired yesterday. I felt, you know, as normally as I would feel after a great party evening. But then she tested positive today, so I left work and ran down to the Walgreens, and yeah, I tested positive. But the good news is I have very few symptoms. I'm just a little tired, but that's always the case on a Monday.
I'm still tired from Saturday night. Are you kidding me? That was a rager, man. You better go get tested, man.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, thank you to my partner, Sage, for putting on a hell of a good time for the Civic Media team. It's getting to be a big team, and apparently they're all going to have COVID soon. Thanks, Salvia. You know, I'm also feeling just a little under the weather. I'm not attributing so much to COVID as either kidney stones or maybe just my kidneys shutting down entirely. I had some I don't know, what do you call it? Back cramps, whatever. Lower back yes. pain.
Maybe you should have pain. A glass of water occasionally, Curtis. That'd be good for you.
I tried drinking lots of water and eating some fresh fruit last night just to make myself whole again. You know, like I was feeling a little less than human Sunday night. But now I feel, you know, ish. Pretty good-ish.
Well,
Relative to having COVID.
We gut it out. We get up. We show up. We get to the job, and we do the work. That's what we do here.
Dom, let me tell you a little story. I was proud of my youngest. He's been away from wrestling. Did I tell you he's wrestling this year?
Yeah.
And it's been a couple years. And he wasn't very good when he wrestled before, and I don't say it with any glee. I went to a lot of bad wrestling meets. But he's grown up. He had puberty. He got in the weight room for like a year. Now this kid's 6'3", like 170. Although he looks like a basketball player in a wrestling singlet. But, you know, ribs and arms and stuff. You know, the kid's he's strong. And he's benching about 225 at 170. Not bad for, you know, a skinny high school kid, but he gets on the mat, and I had missed his first match, didn't go so well, So I'm at his second match. I'd waited, and I knew I had a Saturday meeting before the party, and I had some stuff to do. So I'm like, man, I hope he has this match soon. And so anyways, he gets out there, and he did well. He actually was up 8-5 in the match.
Nice.
And he had this one take. Can't quite. Hey, dude.
What happened there? Lost some sound. You're, here.
Yeah, there we are.
There we go.
You want to hear the story?
Yeah, man. Continue, please.
Stopping my story. Don't end my story. So anyways, I'm watching the kid wrestle. Another kid. You know, wrestling, it's all about the weight. They're equally matched. And so he's up 8-5 and late in the third period. And, you know, boom, the kid's got him on his back. He's exposed his back. And I'm worried my kid's about to get pinned in the last, 30, 20, 15, 10 seconds of the match. And he throws his kid off of like he's Superman or whatever. But 3 points for the back points. Now it's tied up into regulation. They're going to overtime.
Oh.
And he's gassed. Oh, yeah, you can tell. I don't think he's taken a match to the end of the match the entire year. So anyways, he's in overtime. And my youngest, Karsten, was aggressive. He shot and he got 2 points for the takedown. And it was sudden death and it's over. And he could barely get his arm up, you know, when the ref goes to raise his arm. And I was talking to him and the ref came and talked to him out in the hallway. And the ref, I appreciated this about this fine referee, because we all make mistakes occasionally. And the ref said, you know, I missed 2 points. I prematurely blew the whistle. You reversed the guy. You took him down. That's 2 plus 2. You should have won in regulation.
No.
Oh, dude. I mean, thank goodness he gutted it out. Like, yeah. We're doing today, Dom. But you could just see the look in his eye like he wanted to kill that ref. Yeah, right. Like, oh, my God. That, you know, and it only really adds up to like 7 minutes, but that had to be like the hardest 7 minutes
it
of his
is,
life.
Man. Wrestling is a hard, hard sport. Just that constant, because your entire body, I mean, every muscle in your body is being leveraged to go against the other person. And it is brutal.
Why are you looking at me? I played basketball, man.
I wrestled as a young man, so I can appreciate it. That's some hard work.
I never wrestled. But I have worked. I'd like to think I worked a few hard days. I heard you worked on a farm for a short bit in high school, something like that.
Oh, man. Hardest worker I ever did.
But, you know, during the electoral campaign here in the great state of Wisconsin, Tim Michaels, you remember that guy lost to Tony Evers, got his ass handed to him, like 89,000 votes?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Well, part of the problem of the Michaels campaign might have been the attitude he displayed regarding, like, the work ethic of Wisconsinites. Evan, I think we got some on this, don't we? Ebone, help us out. Play Tim Michaels back in campaign days. I believe this was at the lone gubernatorial debate. Play it for the people when you get a minute. Ebone, Tim Michaels describing you lazy Wisconsinites.
We're going to get people off of their couches and get them back to work. We created an entire class of lazy people.
That's what he said about our friends and neighbors, Tom, right?
An entire class of lazy people. And he goes on to talk about the, you know, the COVID unemployment money and all this kind of stuff. And of course, he does acknowledge that was long gone by the time he talked about it. But yes, we are lazy. According to Tim Michaels, everybody else is lazy. Not to mention also we're almost at full employment here in the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, don't let that bother you criticizing your constituents, Mr. Michaels.
Well, apparently they've gotten a little leaky. There's some campaign leaks, Tom.
Uh-oh.
And someone leaked it to the hardest working journalist on Page 6, Dan Bice. Technically, over at the Journal Sentinel, we have a love-hate relationship, Dan and I. In his self-serving postmortem on his failed gubernatorial bid, construction executive Tim Michaels told the Milwaukee radio audience that he'd left it all on the field, Tom. You know, like my youngest.
Yeah.
We work so incredibly hard, he told conservative talk radio host Jay Weber. My wife, Barbara, and I, we went all over the state. And if anyone doesn't believe that, just go on social media. Why would they doubt that? If anyone doesn't believe that, go on social media. I swear it happened. You can see we were making 6, 7, 8 stops a day everywhere from Superior to Kenosha and Sheboygan and everywhere in between. It's a lot of everywheres. But some people are not buying it, Tom, including sources who work closely with the Republican Party nominee in the months leading up to his loss to Democratic Governor Tony Evers on November 8th. They provided the Journal Sentinel, apparently Page Six, Dan Bice, with a copy of certain days from the Michaels campaign internal calendar of campaign events for late October and early November. Well, those were the final days, Dom.
That's the most important days.
And Dom, many of the days appear to be light with activities for a statewide candidate. Most of the events on the calendar were in and around Waukesha County, where Michaels lives. Well, to his credit, Dan, it's only part-time he lives there. And about 30 people had access to these private records. So Dan's kind of given his source a little bit of cover. For example, on November 6th, 2 days before the general election. Oh, Dom, listen to this schedule. This sounds like one of yours. Michaels was scheduled to leave his Village of Chiniqua home at 11:20 a.m. to go to Muskego to attend a Green Bay Packers watch party at Pop's Pub on Pioneer from noon to 1:30, the schedule says. At halftime, he was scheduled to go to a different bar with former Packer, can we call him great or just former quarterback, Don Majkowski, the Magic Man, at DJ's Goalpost Sports Bar and Grill in Menominee Falls. The schedule says he was back home by 4:15 p.m. No other events are listed.
See, that's my kind of campaigning, man. Hit a couple of bars during the ball game. I mean, anybody can do that.
Well, Tom, just a little bit more here. 3 days earlier on November 3rd, Michaels started campaigning at 11:45, a robust schedule he keeps, and stops in Middleton and Forest in Dane County in a final event at the Pioneer Bar in Richfield in Washington County. According to the schedule, he was set to head home by 6. You know, early bird buffets and all that. On October 31st, a Monday, Michael started his day by going to Watertown at 12:30 p.m. for a campaign stop, followed by an endorsement meeting in Teresa and Dodge County and a final event at a bar in Hubertus in Washington County. I swear to God, you guys were riding together. The schedule says he was home at 5:30 p.m. Well, that's the difference, Tom. You close him down. He's never closed down Walski's, has he?
No, hell no. He does not have the bumper sticker. Crudy, on Friday, October 28th, his day of events started at 10:30 and ended at 4:35. He was scheduled to visit a Milwaukee school, stop in at the Republican Party offices in Beaver Dam, and attend a GOP rally in the FDL. Perhaps his lightest day was October 23rd, a Sunday. He was scheduled to go to Faith Baptist Church in Oak Creek from 10 to 1 p.m. Later in the day, he planned to spend 30 minutes at Grazing with Elephants, a Waukesha County Republican Party meet-and-greet event for candidates and the public, beginning at 4 p.m. The rest of his day was open. Apparently, Tommy Thompson voiced some frustration at the schedule. Michael's relatively easy schedule was a source of frustration to former Governor Tommy Thompson, according to a source very close to the man elected to the office 4 times. Thompson, known for his indefatigable campaigning, was an early supporter of Michaels and had several advisors helping the candidate. Thompson, 81, didn't feel just doing 3 or 4 events a day was enough to knock off Evers, the source said. In fact, Thompson confronted Michaels about the issue at one point, the source said. Michaels reassured Thompson, a Republican, that he was putting in the necessary work and hours. You can't run for governor and not be putting in 12 to 15 hours a day when you're a challenger, the Thompson source said. You have to work extremely hard. You have to be doing more than 3 or 4 events in order to hopefully defeat.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Off of their couches and get them back to work. We created an entire class of lazy people.
Well, who the hell else are you talking? Talking to me?
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishgosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 32 overnight, under cloudy skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely 36. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday and Thursday 42. Wednesday 40. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join this fine program. Get off your lazy asses off the couch and call us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you're doing this despite a COVID infection.
Yes.
You are the typhoid Dom of talk radio this afternoon.
I'm a hardworking man. Apparently harder working than Tim Michaels running for governor. I mean, hell, I could go bar to bar to bar and run for governor. I mean, it's kind of what my idea would have been. But you got to do a little more than one or two stops, man. I mean, hitting the Packer game for the first half and second half at two different bars isn't really, you know, doing a whole lot of work, quote unquote.
Well, we've got more coverage from Page Six and Daniel Biestam. Let's give the audience a little bit more. They deserve it. In the general election, Michaels also spent about half of the nearly $12 million that he dropped in the GOP primary. Former President Donald Trump, who endorsed Michaels early on, told him on the night of the primary victory that Evers would be easy to knock off, saying the incumbent was very lazy. Unfortunately, so was the challenger, Dom. Another Michaels ally noted that Wisconsin Right Now, a conservative website, that ain't exactly a liberal rag, Dom, wrote Michaels wanted to keep bankers' hours while other Republican candidates were pounding the pavement. That's pretty generous, the Michaels ally said. It would be bankers' hours if the bank was open just a half a day, like on Veterans Day. The guy was a freaking dandy, said another Republican.
A freaking dandy. That's another Republican. These are allies. I mean, man, I hate to see what your enemies say about you.
Well, you know, they make the team look bad when the candidate's not willing to get off their dead ass, their lazy ass, and go campaign like they want a job. But in interviews last week, Michael said the calendar obtained by the Journal Sentinel listed only the events that all campaign staff needed to know about. He said it did include such activities as media interviews, fundraising, staff meetings, and spontaneous campaign events.
Free shots at the bar.
That's like when Martin O'Malley's team was doing YMCA out in front of the debate site in Des Moines. That was a spontaneous campaign event, Dom.
Yeah.
For instance, he recalled that on October 31st, he had a radio interview, a staff get-together, and an evening Main Street event. I bet that was at a bar. None of which was listed on the internal campaign calendar.
Well, hang on. A radio interview that goes, what, maybe 15 to a half hour generally? We know. We do a little radio here. A staff get-together.
It's a bad so interview. Like, so
a little pre-party at the office before you went to your Main Street event?
Which meant a bar on Main Street, right? He also got publicity for one of his late night events when a New York Times reporter was denied entry to the evening gathering at the Lake County Patriots. Lake Country Patriots on October 20th. Wait for it. At a brewery in Oconomowoc.
My man.
You know, I'm a Wisconsinite, Dom. And you know I like to party with the best of them. Sometimes I like to party till they kick me out the door at the end of the night. But this guy did nothing but party his way through the primary, Dom. You know what I'm saying? This is not exactly an exemplary work record.
Crudy, here he goes on to say this. It is not an accurate reflection of our efforts, Michael said of the calendar provided to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
I bet he used to tell Dad that all the time. When Dad's like, what am I paying you for around here? Well, Dad, you know, my timesheet's not an accurate reflection of the efforts right. I put forth.
I had a lot of meetings
company.
At the Roman Coin, man. I'm very busy. As for the suggestions that he lacked drive in industry in the days leading up to the general election, Michael says these statements are completely false and not at all fair. I was home for dinner maybe once in the general election, Michael said. We worked our asses off.
You know, he brought Chinese back to the Chinookwa home damn near every... It's not like he was home... Anyways, go ahead.
A Michael's campaign staffer, who asked not to be named, agreed that the calendar reflected a selective list of events. The staffer said Michaels was the hardest working candidate in this election cycle. Several Republicans noted that Michaels turned down a chance to travel with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on his 10-day statewide bus tour of 60 stops across 3,000 miles leading up to the general election. Joining Johnson for parts of the tour were U.S. Rep. Ryan Stile, Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ron McDaniel, and Florida Senator Rick Scott. Johnson ended up winning a third term, narrowly defeating Barnes. Sources said it was their understanding that Michaels took a pass on joining the bus tour because he hoped to be home every night. That was impossible, however, with all the bus stops in western Wisconsin. Johnson overnighted on the road several times during the tour. Michaels said he actually joined up with Johnson on a few of the stops, but Michaels said he had his own plan for where to go and whom to meet during the 10-day time frame. We did 70 stops in 10 days, Michaels said. We did more stops than Ron Johnson did.
I doubt that. Vocal. I mean, maybe you went to 70 bars in 70 days, but that's hardly a tour of the world, my friend.
I mean, it is a pretty good cross-section, I got to be honest. Ben Vocal, a spokesman for Johnson, declined to throw Michaels under the campaign bus.
Throw him under the bus, Ben.
I'm not going to get into an argument about whether Ron Johnson or Tim Michaels ran a better campaign. State election records show Michaels underperformed Johnson in all 72 counties and 99 assembly districts. It's interesting that Michaels is coming under criticism from fellow Republicans for his pace late in the race. In September, Michaels, who won the GOP primary over Clayfish, criticized Evers for his work habits. He cited a story by Empower Wisconsin, a conservative website, that asserted the first-term Democrat governor rarely worked a 40-hour week, something Evers has disputed. I was born and raised to have a great work ethic, and I find satisfaction in work, Michael said in a September 29 interview with conservative talk show host Vicki McKenna. I think it makes you healthy, both physically and mentally. So I will have no guilt about making people work hard. He continued, I don't even know if Tony Evers knows what it means to get to work. Apparently the numbers came out. He shows up at noon. He goes home at 3:00. Well, how do you expect to have people that work for you, meaning all the state employees, to work any harder than he does? I will lead by example.
By going to the bar for both the first half and a separate bar for the second half.
Yeah, it's very, very important, very busy, and Packer game. I mean, you know. That's just supposed to show you how Wisconsinite he is. Not East Coast, you know, conservative. Wisconsin, Packer conservative, hitting a couple of bars during the game. He's one of us.
One Republican insider said the message from the gubernatorial election is clear. You got to show up. That's the bottom line.
Only at happy hours?
Come back. More Devils.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores!
scores a 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake says she'll resign on January 2nd. Timberlake led Wisconsin through crises like the COVID-19 pandemic and a statewide hospital worker shortage. The Republican Party of Wisconsin has a new leader and a new fundraising strategy. Brian Schimming was elected as state party chairman over the weekend. Schimming will be the first paid Wisconsin GOP chair. Republicans are trying to counter the fundraising advantage Democrats have enjoyed under a paid statewide chair. Foxconn has accomplished the benchmark for $8.6 million in tax credits and subsidies. The Evers administration says Foxconn created almost 770 jobs and spent more than $77 million on its plant near Racine. In April of 2021, the state revised the contract with Foxconn and created more realistic goals for job creation by the end of 2025 to about 11% of the original plan. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. 30 overnight under cloudy skies, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow, 36. 32 tomorrow night, mixed precipitation likely. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Is where people have turned more conservative, right? But it's also where people need the labor to work on the farms. So I found a piece I'd like to share, contributing columnist Gary Abernathy at the Washington Post, from Trump country, an argument for welcoming immigrants. Now, I've said this a few times, Don, but maybe we'll win a few people over if someone else has the opinion. Some members of the lame duck Congress are seeking a last-minute bipartisan deal on immigration reform before Republicans, including a contingent of immigration hardliners, take control of the House. As usual, Republicans are concerned with making sure any deal includes enhanced border security, build that wall, make Mexico pay for it, right, Dom? While Democrats are more focused on a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers and other undocumented migrants. But among those Americans advocating for legalizing some migrant status is a constituency often associated with Trump country's Build That Wall crowd, Midwestern farmers. In October, the Ohio Capital Journal reported that Ohio farmers consider a deal for migrant farm laborers, and here's the quote, a matter of national security. Wow. Why? I'm sorry, what's that, Tom?
I just said, wow, that's a hell of a quote from conservative farmers.
Why? Because the United States, historically the largest agricultural exporter in the world, is beginning to buy more food product than it sells. According to the Agriculture Department, U.S. agricultural imports are expected to exceed exports next year and every year until 2031. A major reason? The labor force. Americans just simply are not interested in working in the field, in the greenhouse or the packing house, according to Bob Jones, vegetable grower in northern Ohio. We are either going to import workers or we're going to import food. The choice is really that simple. So that's what I would ask, Tom. What would we rather do? I'd rather have control of the supply chain. See what happens when you don't control the supply chains. I like it local. I like Victory Gardens. A little bit more here, Dom, then maybe you can help. Jones and others are urging Congress to pass the Farm Workplace Modernization Act, which would create certified agricultural worker status for migrant farm workers, allowing them to stay in the United States for 5.5 years and apply for permanent resident status after certain requirements are met. The House has passed the bill. And the Post reported last week that Senator Michael Bennett, Democrat from Colorado, and Mike Crapo, Republican from Idaho, were working to advance the bill in the Senate. When I was growing up, according to the author Abernathy, when I was growing up in the southern Ohio farm in the 1960s and early 70s, farmers had little trouble finding help. When it was time to bale hay, for instance, those with modest operations could easily collect kids from neighboring farms, pay us $2-3 an hour, the equivalent of $17 or $18 today, and count on our help for a few days. Farmers plant thousands of acres of corn, soybeans, and wheat and other crops, along with raising cattle, sheep, or hogs, usually employed year-round help, which was easy to find from a pool of willing workers.
Curry, but as Jones indicated, Americans increasingly aren't, for a variety of reasons, as willing to work in jobs requiring strenuous manual labor, often outdoors in the heat or cold. Sons or daughters who at one time could be expected to take over the family farm are pursuing other career paths. These trends are leading many farmers to take the drastic measure of selling their land to wind and solar companies. And as good as that may be for sustainable energy, the world still needs to be fed. Pardon. Although a bill expanding legal agricultural migrant labor would help farmers in Ohio and other states, a broader bipartisan immigration fix being proposed by Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Tom Tillis would be more meaningful. The still-evolving bill is reported to include a path to citizenship for the Dreamers in exchange for $25 billion in funding for border security. For far too long, the immigration issue has been a political bludgeon for both sides. The right decrying dangerous open borders, the left lamenting honest immigrants forced to live in the shadows. Both sides are right and wrong. The United States has the responsibility to vet people seeking to enter the country. Any deal should provide effective new tools to secure the border, including finishing walls already under construction and providing more border agents, but also recognize that even if people here illegally should, by all rights, be rounded up and shipped out, that's unfeasible. A more reasonable solution would be to agree to a pathway to legality for those already here, not those coming illegally in the future, including eventual permanent residency or citizenship, so millions of workers could thrive as tax-paying citizens moving from the shadows to the daylight. And that should be coupled with making legal immigration easier and faster to make the path more attractive. Finally, there's this. Solving the immigration dilemma is the right thing to do. Despite its focus by the right on bad actors who enter the United States for nefarious reasons, and those concerns are sometimes valid, the overwhelming majority of migrants come here for a better life for themselves and their families. They risk their lives to escape hopeless futures and travel through perilous terrain. When people want to come here that badly and are willing to work for us in jobs we desperately need to fill, can't we find a way to let them in? Question mark. An opinion piece, Gary Abernathy at the Washington Post. And let me just get a little background here from my farm. My neighbor, big farm family, and they had like 15 kids, something like that. And one of my great friends growing up, Marty, was the youngest of them all, and he was a year older than me. And as soon as he turned 18, he still lived in the farmhouse for a little bit, but he was out. I mean, he went and got a job. He wanted nothing to do with that farm. And so that my senior year, because he was a year older than me, that last year in school is when I filled that position and worked, 5 o'clock every morning before I went to school to go milk the cows, and sometimes at night, depending on what the needs were. But no, there's a lot of that. And even the brothers that were still there, that land's all gone now. I mean, they sold the land. It's been developed into other properties. It's a park. They leased some of it out. I mean, that is a perfect example of people just moving away from that industry. It's a hard, hard job.
And here in the state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin has led the nation in farm bankruptcies as recently as 2021, as recently as last year. Just a little bit of the reporting from Spectrum One, then we'll get to the phones. And Andy, be patient. You can be first in the queue. Just be patient. 844-967-2789. Be patient. Like Andy, we'll get to you as well. Wisconsin once again leads the nation in farm bankruptcies, according to the data from the American Farm Bureau Federation. Wisconsin had 69 bankruptcies in total, almost double the state with the second most. Kansas had 35. Western Wisconsin, that's the third congressional district, right? WRCO, WRCE land, you can hear us there. Western Wisconsin had more than any other region with 39. It also has more bankruptcies than any other region over the past decade with 255. As a state, Wisconsin has seen 401, again, we're talking about farm bankruptcies in the last decade. In total, Wisconsin had 12 more farm bankruptcies in 2020 than 19. Nationwide, there were 43 fewer bankruptcies. And Wisconsin also lost 260 dairy farms in 2020, 1 year, according to USDA data. Those aren't necessarily lost to bankruptcy, but oftentimes farmers selling herds and getting out of the industry. From 19 to 2020, Wisconsin lost 818 dairy farms. Starting to talk about a significant number. And, I hear former gubernatorial candidate, loser, Tim Michaels, talking about lazy Wisconsinites until, of course, we examine his own schedule. But I would say right here in the great state of Wisconsin, we have talked about this on the show before, Dom. We need to be more embracive of immigrant labor. We need to stop villainizing people willing to come here and freaking work hard, especially in the dairy industry. This is the dairy state, people. I want my cheese curds. Let them in. 844-967-2789. Andy from Beaver Dam. You're a hardworking guy, Andy. At least used to be. How you been?
Hey, Andy.
Not bad. Well, one little funny clip or quip about poor Tim Michaels. you know, he did come to Beaverdam twice, you know, being that Michaels is in Dodge County.
Did he go to Johnny's Bar?
No, that was not make Johnny's Bar. But he was up at a place on the other side of town, about four blocks from Apache Stainless, called Cocktails with Mark Bourne. He did that up there, and then he did go to the one of the local grocery stores. 100 people showed up with in the Ron Johnson green bus. So he at least had Dodge County covered, but I would believe he didn't really do much else statewide on the level of anybody that really wanted that job bad. And as far as dairy cattle are, Dodge County was one of the highest places for dairy cows, you know, like even as little as 10, 15 years ago. But one by one, farmers got bought out. And what you have now is large herds in freestall barns. And they need those Hispanic guys to milk these cows. There's a lot of automation. But, you know, you're got larger herds being put together where all the small guys are long history. You know, their son didn't want any part of it, whatever. So, like you guys talk about up in the Fox River Valley, you know, they're, as far as that post hole digging, I tried digging holes for a pole barn in high school in the 60s. Every time I dig a hole, I hit a big old rock with this other guy. And the guy says, oh, you guys ain't putting much out for a buck and a quarter. And we said, hey, man, go ahead. Go ahead. But anyway, just a little feedback. But no Johnny's Lounge. Sorry, but what can you say?
You know, that's why the man didn't win. He didn't hit all the available bars and restaurants.
Hey, man, I think that's all you really need to do. Don't even hit, the churches. Just hit the bars and a few ball games. You'll be just fine.
Andy,
the Badger Herald reported last year, Crudy, in Wisconsin, 40% of the dairy workers in Wisconsin are migrants. And the Wisconsin State Journal estimate that 90% of the state's migrant dairy workers are undocumented. So 90% of the 40% of total workers are undocumented. And if you're employed as an undocumented migrant worker in you know, red counties, chances are you have a Republican breaking the law to pay the migrants that are undocumented here in the state of Wisconsin. And that is certainly untenable for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're paying into a system. If they're using false, you know, Social Security cards that they're never going to collect on. And number two, you know, the employers can hold that over their head in all sorts of different ways. So it would be a great idea, a logical, practical idea. Fix the broken immigration system. I hear from the right and from the left, everyone says it. Okay. Well, let's fix it. We recognize the problem. There's a couple of solutions, but let's not be rude about it. I mean, my grandfather came over from Sicily in Ellis Island. You know, there wasn't the kind of concern, perhaps maybe there was among some people, but the kind of concern that the Republicans are showing now.
Well, there were always white nationalists.
Well, right, exactly.
There just weren't strict immigration policies. There weren't quotas. There weren't caps. So everyone that came to Ellis Island effectively got in. Come back with us. If you dial up and your name ain't CJ, you'll probably get in. 844-967-2789.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon Shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 32 overnight under cloudy skies. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely 36. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday and Thursday 42. Wednesday 40 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates. Doctor, my
eyes have seen the... And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, over the course of the weekend, Scott Walker, the former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin, made a claim of sorts. I paraphrase, but effectively said, you know, we're against big business. We're against big tech. We're for the little guys. And I'm thinking, you're the guy that crushed collective bargaining. You're the guy that crushed the public sector unions, the private sector unions. You're the guy that made it harder for the working stiff here in the great state of Wisconsin. And also, you're the son of a buck that came up with the bright idea of feeding a foreign corporation billions of dollars. Well, Don, we got an update on Foxconn. You ready for Foxconn?
Let's do it, baby.
We've catapulted into the 21st century thanks to the leadership of Scotty Wanker. The Foxconn development in Racine County remains a mystery to many in Wisconsin, but the Taiwan-based electronics company hit enough job and investment benchmarks to earn $8.57 million. And state subsidies. What they do? I don't know. What do they make? I don't know. Why are we paying them? I really couldn't tell you, but here's a little bit more, Dom. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation announced Foxconn created 768 eligible jobs and made a capital investment of $77.4 billion in 2021. That means the company hit eligible $3.5 billion in job creation related credits and 5.1 in capital investment credits. In April of 2021, that was just, a year and a half ago, Dom, the state revised its $2.85 billion contract with Foxconn to create, let's call them more realistic goals, including the creation of 1,454 jobs, about 11% of the original plan. So they scaled back the Wanker plan by about 90% because, of course, there was never a plan. There was a back of a napkin Hail Mary in an election year. Scott Walker.
It was all election ploy, and Walker got in on it, and so did Trump.
Also, under the revised agreement, Foxconn is expected to invest $672 million. Seems like a lot of money by the end of 2025 compared to the $10 billion that Scott Walker claimed they were going to invest. They've scaled that down a bit as well, Dom. That's under 10%. That's like 6.7% of their original $10 billion investment that he lied through his teeth about. Last year was the first year Foxconn qualified for any state tax credits since breaking ground in Mount Pleasant in 2018. In 2021, the company received $28.8 million in credits after investing $266 million at the site and creating 579 jobs during 2020, according to WEDC. The company now employs 768 workers, according to documents released Friday. What would you say you do here?
I mean, 768 workers? Remember how they bought all these buildings around the state, too, as some sort of, I don't know, effort to get tech into these different towns? And that was all bunk as well. And the Foxconn building, as far as I know, downtown Milwaukee, is either sublet or empty.
But what about the local investment made in Foxconn, Dom? In addition to the state tax credits, local governments has spent millions of dollars on the project. From mid-17 through June of 22, the village of Mount Pleasant spent $167 million on vendors and contractors related to Foxconn, according to the village and records obtained by the Journal Sentinel. Dom, what do you think the village of Mount Pleasant's going to get paid back on their investment?
Never. Crudy, this included costs related to purchasing homes through eminent domain from more than 100 homeowners, but not the actual cost of the properties. The sum also includes about $68 million for sewers and about $70 million for water work. Now, let's not forget, not only did Scott Walker and Donald Trump and the rest of these Republicans lie about what this was going to do, and I'll throw a couple of local Dems in there as well, this was never going to come to fruition. They used the power of the government, the heavy hand of eminent domain, to take people's homes, in some cases homes that they just built, for this $600 plus million boondoggle. Currently, the village paid more than $152 million for 132 properties to make way for Foxconn, plus another almost $8 million in relocation costs. The $911 million special taxing district created by the village of Mount Pleasant and Racine County to pay for the local portion of the Foxconn project, including land acquisition and infrastructure upgrades. Village and county officials have continued to defend their decisions, saying the money spent will bring significant economic development and costs will be recouped.
They invested $911 million.
Yes.
It's a lot of dollars. So
almost $1 billion.
Six figures. But if you look at it, Dom, the entire investment of Foxconn is not going to be $10 billion anymore. It's only going to be $672 million, right? 6.7% of the inspected investment. So Foxconn is putting less money in this project than the village of Mount Pleasant is already committed. $911 million. How are you going to get paid back on $672 million in expected future investment and jobs and manufacturing where they apparently don't make anything? Or if they do, they're keeping it a big secret. That's the key to successful manufacturing, Dom. Don't tell anyone you're making something.
Crudy, they have, apparently, according to the reporting here at the Journal Sentinel, Foxconn has four buildings on its property, a nearly 1 million square foot advanced manufacturing, quote unquote.
What do they make there?
It's advanced. It's manufacturing. You don't need to worry your pretty little self about it, Crudy. Also, a 300,000 square foot smart manufacturing center.
What do they make there?
again, this is it's business. You don't worry yourself about it. And a 120,000 square foot multi-purpose building.
What do they do there?
It's multi-purpose. It's multi-purpose, man. There's lots of purpose. And finally, a 100-foot tall high-performance computing data center globe. You know, the big globe thing.
Well, now it all makes sense. I'm sorry I questioned up until now. See? I mean, now that you've laid it out. One, steal underwear. Three, make profit.
Profit.
If Foxconn could just tell us what step two was.
And the good news is for, you know, the folks that they created down there, the locals that put this money in, if it goes belly up, the rest of the state of Wisconsin is on the hook for it. So, you know, we got that going for us.
Clawbacks, nice, if you will. Yeah. Well, since it's a generational investment, Dom, it's not just the current generation, but also perhaps one or two future generations that will be paying for the Scotty Wanker boondoggle. That was Foxconn. And you as well, Mount Pleasant. You're listening right now on WAUK 540 AM. As they say, suck it, taxpayers.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.